So we're continuing on in our lesson from last week, talking about being translated, our translation into the kingdom of God. We have been translated into the kingdom. We are the children of the Most High God. We are citizens in the kingdom of God. His goal for us is to live in the kingdom, to bask in the glory of his presence. Listen, for those of you who are waiting to get to heaven, for those of you who are waiting to walk the streets of gold, to enter the pearly gates, to be in the clouds, I'm here to let you know that you're missing out right now, because the kingdom living starts right now. Eternity started the second. Eternity with Christ started the second that we accepted Jesus Christ in our hearts. His desire, his great desire, is that we be in fellowship, union, and communion with him. That is the kingdom. That's the kingdom. That's the kingdom. And this is what we're dealing with in this series. We're dealing with being translated into the kingdom of God, our intimate fellowship with God through Christ Jesus. In our focus text is Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 14. We'll also talk a lot about Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, Romans 14, verse 17, Colossians chapter 3, I'm sorry, Romans chapter 14, verse 17, Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, and Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 12, throughout the balance of our time here in Bible study, we will be dealing with this. Let's look at our focus text, Colossians chapter 1. Starting at verse 9, Doug, would you mind reading that, please? 9 through 14.
Sure. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in life, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin.
Amen. 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 So Doug read our focus text for us. This is Colossians 1, 9 through 14. And we kind of went through the text last week. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, but just for review purposes, really, you know, some things that we highlighted and that stood out, Paul's prayer, even in this text, he said that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. He said that in verse 9. He also talked about in the latter part of verse 10, an increasing in the knowledge of God. And we're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about this as we move forward, talking about what exactly the kingdom is, right? And the premise of this is really the kingdom is Christ. The kingdom is our fellowship with Christ. The kingdom is not a place per se. The kingdom is a position. Our position as children of the Most High God, where we are placed in Christ Jesus. That's the kingdom. The kingdom is about our intimate relationship, our intimate position in Christ Jesus, Christ in us, us in Christ, our agreement with God, our walking in fellowship, Christ living his life through us. That's the kingdom of God. The children, we said it last week, the children sing that song. The kingdom of God, what? The kingdom of God is within me. That's the life of Christ Jesus, the spirit of Christ living on the inside of us. That's the kingdom. That's the kingdom. And that's why Paul presses upon us in this text, talking about that we might be what? Filled, right? Filled, made complete, right? For fulfilled, right? In the knowledge of his will, in the knowledge of the will of God. Why is that so important? Where do we derive God's will from? From the word of God. Is the word merely a bunch of symbols and characters? What is the word? The word is Christ. John 1:1. In the beginning was? The word was? And the word was God, right? So when he says that we might be filled with the knowledge, he's not talking about, oh, I got to read. Yeah, we do got to read and fill my head up. No, this is not about intellect. This is not about what we can memorize. This is about finding, identifying, connecting, communing with Christ himself through his word. Christ's life being revealed to us. The Holy Spirit in us through acceptance of Christ Jesus, right? The Spirit of Christ, the Word of God are one, meeting, validating, and affirming the identity of Christ through his word in us, conforming us, right? James said what? Receive with meekness what? The engrafted word, which is able to do what? Save our souls. The engrafted word, a word that becomes a part of us, not just becomes a part of us, but really a word that takes over us, a word that replaces us. Engrafting, meaning that is a procedure of replacement where the word comes in and takes root in us, right? That would be the life of Christ coming in, taking root in us, replacing us, changing us, transforming us. Guess what, y'all? Translating us, transforming us to the likeness of Christ. That's why he says that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That's my point. Not intellectual, but spiritual understanding. Meaning that the Spirit of Christ, right? The Spirit of Christ, we are being edified. The Spirit of Christ is growing. The Spirit of Christ, the life of Christ in us, is becoming greater than Marlon, becoming greater than my life. What did he say? The spirit lusts against the flesh, and the flesh against the spirit, and the two of these are what? Contrary to one another. How do we deal with that? How do we address that? How do we get to a place where the spirit is overwhelming and overcoming the flesh or our carnal nature or our carnal mind? We feed the spirit, the word of God, the spirit of Christ grows, the life of Christ. That's growing in the knowledge, right? Growing in the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And the latter part of verse 10, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Not knowledge just, I know more about him. Mm-hmm. You know, we sing the song, You Can't Make Me Doubt Him. I know too much about him. That's beautiful. Absolutely. Yep. But the goal is not just knowing about him. The goal of knowledge or knowledge is really an intimate fellowship where Christ's life takes over ours, right? What did he say? You be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is at the right hand of the Father, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. What? For ye are, and your life is hid with Christ in God, right? And when, listen, and when what? And when Christ who, what? When Christ who what? When Christ who is, he didn't say, when Christ who is walking beside me, he didn't say, when Christ my Father over yonder there, he didn't say, Christ my best friend, don't get me wrong, he's a friend that sticks closer to a brother, but what he said, when Christ who is our life, Christ who is our life, he is our life, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ, right? And this life that I live what? By the faith of the Son of God who loved me, who gave himself for me. When Christ, who is our life, Christ must become our life. That's what he means when he says growing in the knowledge of God, in the knowledge, growing in relationship, growing in fellowship, growing in our commune with him, growing in our conforming to the likeness of Jesus Christ. This is his goal, right? He said, strengthen with all might according to his glorious power. Verse 11, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. We talked about that last week. Here we are getting into the meat of the text. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. We will deal with that. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has done what? Translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Even the forgiveness of sin, we'll talk about that, but this verse 13, who have delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, translated. Christ has translated us. Christ has translated us from one place to another place. He has translated us. In other words, he has qualified us, right? Right? In verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet, which has, other word, made us qualified. He's made us worthy, right? Right? To many of them that believe, they are what? We are the righteousness, right? I'm probably quoting that wrong somewhere. We are the righteousness of God, right? Is that what that says? Nope. I'm thinking of, I'm actually thinking of 2 Corinthians. Really quick, because I don't want to be misquoting stuff here. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Here it is. I'm mixing verses up. For he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made what? The righteousness of God. That's what I meant to quote. The righteousness of God. He's through the finished work of the cross, not by our works, not by anything that we've done, right? By the finished work of the cross, he has translated us. He has qualified us. Mm-hmm. He has justified us. He has made us clear. He has clarified us. And I'll tell you what I mean by that in a minute, right? In other words, he's changed us from one form to another. Why? Because what did Adam's sin do? It separated us. Mm-hmm. Adam's sin separated us from a holy God. Mm-hmm. We were so far from God because of rebellion and disobedience in sin. Listen, God can't look upon sin, right? When Christ went to the cross, right? And he was up on the cross bearing the sins of the world, right? There was a moment where God couldn't even look upon him because of our sin. Listen,
that same sin was ever before us from the time that Adam and Eve sinned in the garden all the way up to the cross. Thank God for his grace. But all the way up there, God cannot look upon sin. We were separated from him. But because of what Christ did, and listen, and we'll get into it later, but because of what he continues to do, because of the finished work on the cross, we've been translated. We've been translated. Why do most people need a translator? Because they don't understand
what you're saying.
They don't understand what you're saying. You need translators for things that don't make sense. Mm-hmm. Why did Christ have to translate us? Mm-hmm. That's right. Pastor Wright said we didn't make sense. We were a hot mess. That we still don't make sense. But thank God for the translator. Thank God for Jesus Christ. Thank God for him being our propitiation. Thank God for Christ making what was so confusing, so out of whack, so out of sorts. Listen, that's the reason why we can go before the Father now, because he stands in intercession between us and the Father. What does he tell us? That's right, you quote all the time in Hebrews. What chapter to talk about the throne of grace? Now we can come boldly before the throne of grace and obtain what? Mercy and grace. Why? Because Christ has translated us. Because he's translated us. Before Christ did what he did, God, listen, we were a mess. And because of what Christ continues to do, now we can stand before God. And that's good news, y'all. Thank God for Jesus. Mm-hmm. We'd be lost without him. And this is what he's talking about when he says, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. It's the finished work of Christ that has made us meet, that has qualified us for the kingdom. But guess what, y'all? As we continue to walk, we have all rights and privileges in the kingdom, but guess what? We forsake them. You know, we forsake those rights. We forsake those freedoms. We forsake those privileges. We forsake those blessings. Why? Because we've got to grow in our faith. We've got to grow. That's why Paul earlier in the text said, right in verse 9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to do what? Pray for us, right? Cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be what? Filled with the knowledge of what? His will for us. His will that we be conformed to the likeness of Christ. His will that we bask in the glory of his presence. His will that we walk in the grace of God, that we walk in the bountiful blessings of God. This is not about a prosperity message, but this is what God has promised us. And what happens is we constantly underachieve because of a lack of faith. And what he desires is for us to continue to grow in the knowledge of his will, meaning that my heart is broken to what he says about me, to what he says about himself, to what he says about how much he loves us, that I am continually growing, being convinced and persuaded and compelled as to the will of God for my life. And guess what? God does not desire for us to walk in this world in fear, anxiety, trepidation, ambiguity. He does not desire these things for us. He desires us to walk confidently in the will of God. Lift up your head, all ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Do we know who he is? Who is this King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up ye heads, O ye gates. But yet we walk around like this. Oh, Lord, what's going to do? We just don't know what us is going to do with this coronavirus 19. We don't know what we going to do because, forgive me, white folks won't accept us. They oppress. We're oppressed. We don't know what us is going to do if we have another 4 years of this current presidential administration. We just don't know what we're going to do. You know why we don't know what we're going to do? Because our hearts have not been broken to the word of God. Because if our hearts are broken to the word of God, we know exactly. Yes. We know exactly what we're going to do. We're going to continue to focus on Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to continue to put our trust in him. Our hearts are going to be broken to the fact that in this world you shall have tribulation, but we can rejoice and be of good cheer because our God has already overcome corona. He's already overcome racism. He's already overcome presidents. He's already overcome kingdoms and rulers. He's already overcome all of these things. We've got to know it by faith. That's why he says that we might grow in the knowledge of his will. We've got to grow in the knowledge of the will of God. Amen. Be encouraged. Amen. And know that he's faithful who has promised.
Amen.
It's him. It's about him, y'all. It's all about Christ. He is the kingdom. He's the kingdom. He is the kingdom. So let's look. What is the kingdom of God, y'all? Just looking at my tongue. What is the kingdom of God? The kingdom, or what is a kingdom? Let's start there, foundationally. What is the kingdom? A kingdom is a country, a state, or a territory ruled by a king or queen. We'll just, in this case, we'll say a king. Let's establish that foundationally, right? It's a territory, right? Ruled by a king. That's a kingdom. It's a realm associated with or regarded as being under control. Listen to these words. I'm telling you right now, because I'll tell you right now, our flesh will hate these words. But the spirit, and that's why we've got, when we talked about the spirit man growing in the knowledge of Christ, being continually being conformed to the likeness of Christ, where the spirit of Christ is ruling over the carnal mind, because the carnal mind hates words like control, subjection, rule, lordship. It hates these words, but the spirit of Christ loves these words. The spirit wants to be controlled. The spirit wants to be under subjection. The spirit wants to be under the lordship of the Most High God. That's why we gotta die. That's why we gotta die. Because many of us are in church, religious, on auxiliaries and ministry, serving in positions, doing all this stuff. But we're so far outside of the kingdom because our flesh is ruling over the spirit, and God desires. He desires that we die to this flesh, because you got, in order to live in the kingdom, you got to die to yourself. Mm-hmm. Guess what? Self won't live in. You know why self won't live in the kingdom? Not because God don't want self in the kingdom. Not that he does. The Bible says no flesh shall glory in the presence of Most High God, right? But no, you know why else self won't live in the kingdom? Because self hates the kingdom. Self don't want nothing to do with the, oh my goodness, self don't want nothing to do with the kingdom. I'm trying to tell you, the carnal mind is enmity towards God. It is not subject to the law or the word or the will of God. So listen, it's not subject, meaning it does not respect, it hates the will of God. So when the Bible says that you might grow in the knowledge of his will, what the self or the flesh or the carnal mind says, oh, oh yeah, Oh no. Because it wants nothing to do. My flesh loves the misery of this world. It desires and it craves everything that will destroy me. My flesh desires everything. It has an affinity, an attraction, a hunger, and a desire for everything the world has to offer, even though I know it will destroy me.
Yes.
That's why we've got to die to this flesh. That's why we can't preach and teach enough about the fact that we've got to die to self.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, it's the will of God.
Mm-hmm.
For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate that we might be conformed to the likeness of his son. That means we got to die. Conformed to the likeness of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. We've got to die to self. You can't hear it enough. You keep on clamoring it. See, you don't realize that's your flesh wanting somebody to teach and preach you about your breakthrough, your season, and your harvest, because it wants to stay in what and getting. The more I can get, the more I get this insatiable desire in me, in my flesh. I just want to get. No, that was not. He said, let this mind be in you. That was also in Christ Jesus, who counted it not robbery to be equal with God, but what? Made himself no reputation and did what? Took on the form of a servant. He gave up that he might receive, that we might receive. In order for us to truly receive the blessings of God, we've got to die to self. Before we can truly receive the great riches that God has for us, because I'm telling you, your flesh don't want what God has. It wants what the world has. There's nothing in this world but the what? Lust, the lust, and the pride of life. I'm trying to tell you right now, we got to believe what this word says. We got to believe what God said. We have to believe what this word says over heaven. Listen, y'all, I got to believe what this word says over what I see, hear, feel, and think. Listen, if I'm out of this word, my flesh will be out of control.
Mm-hmm.
I'm chasing everything I see. Mm-hmm. Right? Everything this flesh hungers and lusts after. Listen, you get me out of this world long enough, you'd be like, who is that? Who is that dude?
Mm-hmm.
No, we gotta be in this word. We need this word more than we need necessary. What do you think? Yeah. Listen, he was not wasting his breath when he said all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But we just want to slap religion over our flesh, put on a three-piece suit, a nice dress, right? Fine jewelry, a church hat, slap on a badge, whether it be the deacon badge or the usher badge or the preacher badge, whatever badge you put on our titles.
Mm-hmm.
We want to flap that stuff over our flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And wonder why there's so much confusion in churches. Because nobody's dying.
Mm.
Nobody's willing to submit to the authority of God.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, we got to die. We've got to die. That's the only way people going to see Christ. Man, you got to listen. I got to listen. Right. We gotta die. That's all I'm gonna say. We gotta die, right? So the spiritual reign or authority of God, right? That's part of the kingdom. The kingdom of God is living according to our predestined position, where God is king and we are his children, knowing who he is and who we are in him. Christ in us, us in Christ. Our intimate fellowship, that is the kingdom of God. Matthew 6:33 says what? But seek ye first
the kingdom of God.
Really what he's saying is seek ye only. You know why? Well, let me get to that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. He's really saying, seek ye only. Many of us will say, well, I'm putting Christ first in everything I do. You know, we like to say that in church. I'm putting it first. If you're putting Christ first, that means there are other things. My Bible says that Christ is the only thing. See, what we have to understand is by seeking Christ only, which is what he means in this text, knowing that everything, Christ is the fulfillment, he is the totality of the will of God. He is everything. When I seek Christ and I get Christ, I don't have a need for anything else. I have everything when I have Christ. So he's setting us up. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, because he knows when you truly get there, you'll be fulfilled in Christ. There won't be no need to seek anything else. Our problem is we take literally, I'm going to put Christ first in everything I do. So what we do is we try, and I say we try, to prioritize Christ. But what we do is we find momentary times of fellowship with him, and we jump in and out of him like hopscotch or double dutch. We in, and then we out. I got him on, I'm seeking him on Sunday, right? But then on Monday, I'm seeking my own will. But you know what? Uh-oh, prayer, meeting on Tuesday. Let me get the prayer, and I'm seeking him on Tuesday, right? Tuesday night, after doing us all day long Tuesday day, right? And then Wednesday night, I'm at Bible study, I'm seeking him. But then I got Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. All to myself to do what I'm going to do. To do it. I'm not saying we're doing anything bad, but what I'm saying is this is a perpetual pursuit. Right? This is a, listen, we've got to be in God's word. We've got to be meditating. The man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is where?
In the law of the Lord.
In the law of the Lord, in the word of God, and in his word does he meditate one day a week?
Day and night.
Oh, really?
Day and night.
Day and night. We ought to be feeding on the word. Listen, we got to be in God's word. Amen. Listen, I need it. I'm most encouraged when I'm in God's word. God is training me. And guess what? Well, he sent some trouble your way to get you in his word.
Amen.
I'm telling you right now, and if you're stubborn like me, he really got to send some stuff to get you. And I'm learning more and more every day. And you would think that I know by now that my most peaceful, most tranquil, most fulfilling, most joyous times are the times when I'm in God's word, when I'm meditating on God's word. You think I would have learned by now. Nope. But thank God David said it was good for me that I'd been afflicted.
Yes.
That I might learn by statute. This is where, listen, y'all, he want us here. This is where he, I was on my knees praying the other day. Lord, help me. Help me get to a place where you ain't got to send trouble my way. For me to have a great yearning and desire.
My Lord.
In your word. Help me. Get me to a place where that's just where I want to be. But listen, listen, I'm going back. I know y'all tired of hearing. That's why we've got to die to self. Because the carnal mind is enmity. It is not subject to the law of God. It wants you thinking that you don't need to be in it. This mind, this carnal mind, wants you thinking that I don't need God all the time. These preachers are crazy. They crazy. What in the world? What in the world are they thinking about? Don't they know I gotta go to work? Don't they know I gotta go food shopping? Don't they gotta know I? Did you listen? We ought to be taking him and his word with us everywhere we go.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you understand? And we are in this for my job.
Continual pursuit. That's it, God. That's it, God.
I was in this training today for my job. We're doing these trainings for our workforce around unconscious bias, right? In response to all this diversity, equity, inclusion, stuff that's going on. We have all these corporate initiatives now about making people more sensitive and aware of what's going on in the subconscious. Mm-hmm. In the subconscious. And what we all have are these biases that are not in the frontal cortex, but are really in the anals of our mind, because we've been trained, right? Mm-hmm. And conditioned mm-hmm. to think certain ways, to have opinions about things that people do, how people mm-hmm. operate, how people look, mm-hmm. how people dress, what people say. Mm-hmm. There's a subconscious part of us that's always working, mm-hmm. right? And it causes us to act out in certain ways, unbeknownst, right? To our consciousness. We see stuff, we make snap judgments about stuff, right? This is the stuff that we're dealing with. I'm saying all that to say that this mind is always working. It's always running. It's always feeding on something. It's always processing something. There's always something there. And this is why Paul tells us so many times, and the word of God is telling us, that we've got to be in the word, because this mind needs something to grab hold of. It needs nothing to feed and hold on to. And it needs to be the word of God, or else we're going to continue to operate in self. In self. And we need the word of, that's why he said, why do you think David said, meditate day and night?
Day and night, amen.
Why do you think he said that? Because he understands his flesh. He understands the mind of a man. He understands that as a man thinketh,
so is he.
That's it. Mm-hmm. He understands these things.
Mm-hmm.
He knows. And so that's why we've got to be in the word. And really, that's what's going to set us apart, y'all.
That's right.
You want to know what makes us, that makes us citizens of the kingdom? What? Listen to what Jesus said in John. What was it? I'm not going to try and quote. Was it chapter 4? When he talks about when he preached in the temple. And he said, after he preached, many believed on him. I don't think it's 4.
Mm-mm.
It's 6. And he said to many of them that believe, he said, if you do what? If you continue in my words, 8:30? Continue in my word. What's the next word? What's the next word?
Then
conjunction, conditional. Mm-hmm. Then you will be my disciples. In other words, mm-hmm. then people will recognize you as citizens and children of the kingdom. Us being in church 40 years don't mean nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Us attending Sunday after Sunday don't mean mm-hmm. nothing if we're not applying the word of God to our mm-hmm. hearts. Dr. Stanley say all the time, he say, you don't come to church to sit and listen to sermons.
Mm-mm.
You come to receive something to go home and meditate on.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's in my meditation that God's going to deal with some stuff. That God's going to regenerate the life of Christ in me. That's when the engrafted word, that's when the word of God is being engrafted and God is replacing me. And I want to look more. That's why he said, if you continue, listen, they believed
mm-hmm.
in the
mm-hmm.
temple. But then he still said, if you continue in my word, then.
Are you my disciples indeed?
Then you shall be my disciples indeed. There will be no question about it. That means people in your job won't be like, well, is he? Well, is he? Because, you know, we got people at you. We're quick to talk to people. Oh, yeah, I belong to Ebenezer. Baptist True Word of God, Pentecostal Holiness, Church of God in Christ Jesus, right? Mm. We quick to tell people, oh yeah, and you know, the church was good and my pastor preached this and all this, but we ain't got no word in us. And the minute something crazy happened on the job, but heard Pastor Wright talking about this the other Sunday, we acting just like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
We telling people off with the quickness on the job. Some church folk cussing people out on the job. You better believe it. Because there's no word. There's got, listen, the word of God has got to replace us. Or else this flesh is going to do, listen, this flesh is going to do it. It's going to do self. Self is going to do self without the Spirit of Christ governing us. The Spirit of Christ won't govern us if we're not feeding on the Word of God. How can a young man cleanse his way?
By taking him to the Word of God.
By taking heed
to the Word of God.
The Word of God, he just preached this. Thy word have I done what?
Hid in my heart.
You know what that hid means? It means I've treasured it. You hide what you treasure. You hide treasure. Mm-hmm. That word, when he says the word have I hid in my heart, it doesn't mean I've hidden it away. It means I treasure. I love this word. I desire, I thirst and hunger for the statutes and the precepts and the will and the word of God. I desire it. I've treasured it. I've hidden it in my heart. Why? So that I might not sin
against thee.
Against thee. This word is conforming us. We got to have a hunger, a thirst, and a desire for the word of God. Let's look at this really quick. This, for those of you who are on Zoom, you can see my screen. For those of you who are here, you have a copy of the sheet. Those of you who are in a conference call, we will make sure we get this to you. This diagram here, what we've been translated from to what we've been translated to. Trying to fix something here. Okay. So you see the tale of two kingdoms here, right? We got the kingdom of God and we got the world system, right? And let's start with the kingdom, because this is what we've been translated to. And then we'll talk about what we've been translated from, right? The kingdom of God, right, is composed here. It's composed of many things, but for the sake of this class, and what the Lord has led us, as where the Lord is leading us, is composed of four quadrants, right? And we talked about this. What is the kingdom before? In every kingdom, right, you have four things. You have four things. We've dealt with this in prior Bible studies before. You have four things. In every kingdom, you have a king. You have subjects. You have authority, because that's how the kingdom is governed, through authority. And you have territory, right? So you have a king, you have subjects, you have authority, and you have territory. Let's start. In our kingdom, in the kingdom of God, who is the king?
God is.
God is the king through Jesus Christ, right? They rule in the kingdom. Who is not the king?
We are.
That's right.
We're
not. That's the only thing we gotta learn. That we ain't the king. And we ain't calling the shots. That God is sovereign. Guess what? Ephesians 3:11, the latter part of that verse, what did he say? God works all things after the counsel of your own will.
His own will.
You mean to tell me God don't work all things after the counsel of my will?
No.
That's what we have, right? Yeah, God's supposed to do what we want him to do, when we want him to do it, how we want him to do it. Right? No, but God, and that's the thing, that's why our lives are lives of alignment. That's why he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his what?
Righteousness.
What he says is right. Because if not, what we do is we go about spending our lives, wasting our time, trying to get God to do what we want him to do. Trying to get God to bend. This is what we do. This is what we spend a lot of time praying. God is going to bend his will to meet our needs. No, God is sovereign. God is omnipresent, which means, and we said it a million times, God stands outside of all of existence and creation. He lives. He exists. God don't exist in, 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 in our reality, right? God exists outside of time. He transcends time and space. All of time, from the beginning to eternity's future, is before God, like my thumb is before us right now. God already knows. God has already written history and the future. That's why John could give us a glimpse of what eternity was going to be like in Revelation, because God gave him a glimpse of what he had already established. God is not sitting next to us in time talking about, I wonder what's going to happen 10 minutes from now. He already knows. So what sense does it make for us who don't know what's going to happen, who aren't sovereign, to get down and tell God what we expect him to do? No, our job is to line up with what God has already written for our lives. It makes life a lot more smoother when we are broken to the will of God. That's why he says that we might grow in the knowledge of his will. Right? We've got to line up with the will of God. Now, you know why this is a win-win situation? Because he loves us more than we love ourselves. He wants better for you and me than we want for ourselves. Now unto him who is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we could ever articulate.
That's a good thing.
All that we could ever conceive. All that we could ever ask or think. This is the God who is sovereign, who has already established our ways. That's the God. What happens is we get in the way of it, trying to get him to bend his will towards us. We're not seeking him first or only. We make it rocky. We make it turbulent. I make it rocky. I make it turbulent for my own life and for my family when I don't line up. We've got to line up. He's the king. I'm not the king. We're not the king. He's the king. We're this next thing. Because not only does the kingdom need a king, but the kingdom needs what? Subjects. Who are the subjects?
We are.
We are his subjects. Mm-hmm. We are subject to him. We are subject to his rule and his authority. We are subject. Why? Because God is God. He's high. He's holy, so much higher than us, right? And we are subject, and we are to live in subjection to him. And see, this is why I say we got to die to the flesh, because guess what? Our flesh don't want to be subject to nobody. Doesn't want to be subject. That's just the way we're wired. That's the way we're built. That's the way this flesh is. But in the kingdom, we've got to learn the rule and the way of God. His way replacing he's God Adonai. You know what God Adonai is? Lord. See, and that's the thing. I heard somebody say, we love to call him Savior, but we hate to call him Lord. Because we love the ideal of being rescued and saved, but we hate the ideal of being subject. We've got to be subject to him. We are subjects in the kingdom of God. Listen, this kingdom of God is not like, our problem is we continually compare the kingdom of God to the kingdom of the world. This is part of our problem, right? And in the kingdom of the world, it's horrible. That's right. That's right. Everybody want to get back to Eden. And guess what? That's right. That is the world. Because guess what? I'm here to let you know it was never meant for us to live in Eden. Do you know that? And now this is a whole sidebar. It was never the will of God for us to dwell and live in Eden. Do you know that? Because Eden is, we couldn't be fulfilled in Eden. You know how I know? Adam and Eve were not satisfied in Eden. Mm-hmm. Because if they were, the devil would have never been able to convince them to eat of the fruit. They weren't satisfied. They wanted what they could not have. And it was God, it was never God's will for Eden to fulfill man, because he knew from the very beginning that only Jesus Christ could fulfill man. If we believe that, then we don't believe that God is omniscient. Then we say that we didn't know that. We say that God didn't know Adam and Eve were going to rebel against him. Of course he did. Going back to my whole point around the fact that God exists outside of all. God stands outside of all existence. He knew. He wrote it all from the beginning. He knew they were going to sin. When God speaks, and this is the thing, and this is why the word is so powerful, and this is why Christ is the word. When God spoke, he speaks once throughout all of creation and existence. So when he said in the beginning, let us make man in our own image, do you know what he was saying? He's saying, we're going to create them. They're going to sin. In Christ, you're going to be the propitiation. And you're going to be what reconciles men back to me. And they're going to be conformed in your likeness. When he said that in the beginning, he was quoting Romans 8:29. Because God is omniscient. God wasn't standing on day one, if we want to call that day one, saying, let us make man in our own image, and I don't know what's going to happen. No, that's why Peter could say, we've not been redeemed by corruptible things like silver and gold. But with what? The precious blood of Jesus, which God just, he brought the blood for to fix a mistake. No, that's not what he said. The precious blood of Jesus, which he foreordained when? Before the foundation of the world. Now, if he foreordained that Christ was going to die for our sins before the foundations of the world, i.e. before creation, what did he know? What does that tell us about what he knew? He knew we were going to sin against him. Because he's God. Listen, if we got to believe that he's God of the Bible.
That's right.
Or what the word says about him. He ain't guessing. He ain't figuring this thing out as time goes by. He knows. It's already written. He already knows. We've got to be subject to this. Listen, we've got to be subject to him. Because of who he is. Because of where he sits. Because of how great he is. We're subject. In every kingdom, there's a king. There's subjects. There's what? There's authority. There is authority. What is the authority, y'all? The word of God is the authority. In every kingdom, there's authority. Right? Even in the worldly kingdom, there's authority. We just, even though we people kind of do what they want to do. There's authority. There's a constitution. There's rules somewhere. Right?
That people
try to follow. Right? When I drive on the turnpike, there's authority on the turnpike that says I should only drive 65 miles an hour. Right? Right? There's authority. In every kingdom, there's authority. In the kingdom of God, there's the authority.
Yes.
The authority. The word of God is the authority. The word of God is what sets order. The word has established order. And we've got to be a people of order in the kingdom of God. We're just going through this quickly. We're going to revisit it next week. And then there is territory. In every kingdom, there's a territory. In this kingdom that we currently live in, what's the territory? The United States of America is the territory, right? That's the kingdom of which
live.
The president and Congress, they quote unquote rule over, right? Right? And all of us in it, you know, we have the authority, which is the Constitution, right? And then there's the territory, which is the sovereign United States, right? Outside of the United States, the same rules don't apply. Inside the United States, those rules apply for every single person that calls themselves a citizen, an American, a a citizen of the United States, right? In the kingdom of God, what is the territory? Our hearts. In the kingdom of God, the territory is our heart. You know why the territory has to be in our heart? Because if the territory is in our hearts, then there will be no authority. We will not be subject to authority if we don't know what the territory is. Because the Bible says the heart, with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. And if we're going to abide in the kingdom, live in the kingdom, be citizens of this kingdom, we've got to, this word, the word of God or the authority has to be applied to our hearts. We've got to know it. We've got to have it. That's where his rule and his reign, that's the throne seat of God, where he dwells. And we talk about the kingdom of Christ. The kingdom is Christ, right? Christ in us, hope of glory, his life in us, right? Where in the world do you think he sits and rules? In our hearts. That's his territory. That's where he rules. That's where he governs. If he just governs in my mind, I change my mind 10 times a day, more than that. But it's my heart. That's why he says, with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. It's with my heart. And that's where he's got to live, right? Thy word have I hid, treasured
in my heart.
In my heart. So that I might not sin, so that I might not rebel in the kingdom. So I might not go outside of his authority. So that I might be subject to the king. We've got to live. And we'll deal with this more. We'll talk about next week the world system. Talk about how he's translated us. Right? There's some notes I want to get from Pastor Wright because he deals with this in a little bit different way. So I want to, that's why I really want to go deep into it tonight. Where we kind of hang out at, right? Where we tend to hang out at because of this flesh, right? So we want to deal with that next. We want to deal with that next. We want to deal with that next week. That's it. We're done.